You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow a side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews. So let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I am so excited to welcome today's guest. Today's guest is Kalisa Martin, the co-founder of The Runaway Jamaica, a community-oriented luxury bed and breakfast. Kalisa and her better half, Jeff, a New York couple of Caribbean heritage, left the 9-to-5 city grind to pursue their passion for food, culture, and travel. And after becoming the first and only successfully funded bed and breakfast on Kickstarter, they have quickly become the go-to destination for adventurous travelers seeking an authentic immersion into island life. And now, building on the experience they've begun in Jamaica, Kalisa and Jeff are actually expanding to new destinations around the world. So on this episode, you'll learn what inspired the idea to open the Runaway Jamaica and how she got the courage to quit her 9-to-5 and pursue her entrepreneurial dreams. So welcome to the show, Kalisa. Let's get right into it.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. I know you have a background in food science. So who is Kalisa? How'd you get here?
Sure. So I am a self-proclaimed food nerd. I love everything about food. And even at a young age, I knew that I wanted to learn everything I possibly could about it. So I gained my undergraduate degree in food science and nutrition, and then went on to culinary school after that, and then jumped right into the food media industry in New York City. And so my whole life, my professional life, my personal life is always about food. I gardened in Brooklyn. I used to lead food tours down in Manhattan. So I love everything about it. And I grew up in Southern New Jersey, but my parents are Jamaican. And yeah, that's just a quick snapshot of me.
Okay, cool. So of course we have, you know, the Jamaican heritage in common. Yeah. I was born in Jamaica, and I actually came across the Runaway Jamaica. I met someone at a conference who went there for a retreat. And I was like, wow. Oh my gosh, this sounds amazing. Why
That's
have I
so
never
cool.
heard of it? Yeah, yeah. I think it was with Food Heaven or
yes.
something. Yes, they had a mm-hmm. retreat there. So
That's awesome.
Yeah, walk us through the creation of the Runaway Jamaica. Like, how long has it been around? What inspired you to do this? And why Jamaica in particular?
Sure. So there's a long answer and a short answer. I'll try to stick to the points. So the Runaway Jamaica has officially been open for a year as of this month. But the idea itself, kind of went into motion back in 2014. My partner, Jeff, and I, we, both had dreams that could be realized in the project, and it just happened to be the right place and the right time for us to make it happen. It was actually a winter storm. We were both living in New York, and a storm kind of put us over the edge of living in the Northeast. And we took a vacation to Jamaica at the very last second. And it was there, actually, you know, in Jamaica, when we decided that we wanted to pursue this idea of a bed and breakfast seriously. And things moved quickly after that. We thought about it some more, and of course, you know, threw out some ideas and planned it before we officially shook on it a few months later. And then I put in my notice at work, and a few months after that, we made the move. We just picked up, packed up, and moved to Jamaica. And we actually lived on site on the property that we were converting into a bed and breakfast for about 6 months before we launched the Kickstarter. So we had enough time to plan, really get our bearings, and get all the finances in order. And then we announced everything on Kickstarter in March of 2015.
Wow, what a journey. So, you know, I have so many questions, but
yeah.
Before we get into more of your startup journey, tell us about all that the Runaway experience now encompasses. For those who are not familiar, what are all the business angles?
Sure. So we first launched as, you know, a brick and mortar B&B in Jamaica. And we spent the last year kind of refining our model. And it was really an incubator for a lot of concepts that we had and what we wanted to do in the travel space. And now we're preparing to launch our first runway experience trip, which is actually going to be in Cuba in January of 2017. And basically what we learned was that the runway is more of a concept than the bed and breakfast itself. And what our guests valued the most was really, you know, the curation that we did with their itineraries, the concierge service that we provided with booking everything on their behalf, and really just having people like them host them on the ground in that place, which was Jeff and myself. And so we're taking that concept on the road, and we're officially calling ourselves now the Runaway Experience. And instead of, you know, rebuilding a bed and breakfast in every destination we want to visit, we're going to be linking up with awesome B&Bs that already exist and other boutique lodging establishments and bringing our guests to them. And we'll still do everything from booking airfare to, of course, the accommodations and all of the activities. And we'll actually join them on these travel experiences, and we host them on the ground.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Okay. So back to the inception of the brand. What were some of the first steps you took to start taking your idea and turning it into a brand?
Well, I guess, like I said, Jeff and I, we went on that vacation, then we got home. You know, it was one of those conversations where we were thinking, you know, are we really serious? Is this something that we want to do? And we spent a few months really talking it through and thinking about what it would be like, and is this really something that we wanted to do, you know, because it's a pretty big change. And once we got all that out of the way, we knew that we wanted to also launch our project via Kickstarter, which that to us was like a really great way to launch our business, because it forced us to really boil down the concept into not only a video, but like a one pager that somebody could look at our site and really grasp the concept even before it ever existed. And to us, like, Kickstarter really did that for us. In addition to getting the capital, it really allowed us to identify ourselves and figure out, you know, who we were as a brand.
So is there something particular about Kickstarter as a crowdfunding platform that made you use that as opposed to other crowdfunding platforms?
No, you know, I think we did look at the other ones, but I think we like the idea of the all or nothing, where some of the other platforms, if you don't hit your goal, you still get the funds, which is amazing. But I think for us, we wanted that added pressure of, you know, we've got to hit our minimum, you know, in order to get anything. And so that was great. And plus, I think Kickstarter has a really great support network. And they have a lot of exposure. It's probably one of the better known sites for crowdfunding. And it just happened to be the right fit for us.
Got it. Got it. Yeah. Kickstarter definitely has that brand that, you know, okay, you're legit. You're not just, you know, raising money for your school books or for your cousin's birthday party. But yeah. I also read that you use something called Launch Pack. Tell us, what is that? And what are some best practices for Kickstarter in general that you've learned?
For sure. Yeah. Launchpad is an amazing company. I do think that they're operating kind of in a different capacity now than when we first worked with them, but their website is still up. I believe it's launchpack.co. And basically, they were a boutique marketing agency focused entirely on supporting companies kickstart their brand. And so they provided a videographer, a copywriter, project manager to really help guide us through the process of crowdfunding. And it was great because, you know, Jeff and myself, we both have backgrounds in marketing and we have experience in those things. But having, you know, a dedicated team similarly invested in your success was really great for us, especially in those beginning stages. And I'd say as far as tips for any crowdfunding campaign, I'd say, you know, take it seriously, invest resources into making it really polished, because potential donors, they look at the page and they say, okay, well, you know, this looks very professional. I know that they're going to put a lot of work into making their dream come true because they've invested that high quality into the page itself. So yeah, and I'd also say, you know, be really open with not only what the project is, but who you are and what you believe in, because that really resonates with potential donors as well.
Got it. Got it. So you raised your Kickstarter, you successfully, funded your campaign. How would you say you and Jeff's prior work experiences supported all of this, this marketing, this starting up the operations and, you know, supported turning this venture into a real thing?
Yeah, that I would say was critical for us. A lot of times we talk about, you know, our passion for travel and for food and, you know, our desire to make it a reality. But it really did come down to the skills that we had. And we were just blessed that they were really applicable to this project. So my background is, even though I've been in the food industry the whole time, I've actually been on the business side. And so I have a strong background in like operations and project management and brand marketing and all of that. And Jeff has a strong background in marketing, social media, website building, and everything in between. So for us, it was like a really great balance of skills. And especially considering we're the only two, you know, full-time employees for the company, we really had to maximize on everything we could apply to the project.
Got it. Yeah. And I wanted to get into that. I will get into that in a little bit about staffing and teams and building your team. But before we do that, let's touch a little bit, because I think that a lot of us have ideas. We want to build things. We even have ideas of moving to other countries and building things. Mm-hmm. But you have to financially prepare for that. So you talked about, you know, put it in your resignation papers. But I'm really curious about the mindset you had to have to say, you know what, I enjoyed this getaway so much, I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to quit this stable, awesome job, because you were doing amazing things. So tell me a little bit about that mindset and then how you financially prepared in addition to the Kickstarter.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because I think Jeff and I must be crazy or something, because to us it like wasn't a big deal. But when we would talk to other people, they'd be like, oh my gosh, are you sure?
Right. What
are you
people don't do that.
But I think a couple of things played into that. Jeff, he already owns his own business. And so with his marketing agency, he could already work from anywhere. And so we were able to take, you know, clients, whether we were still in Brooklyn or whether we were on the other side of the world. So that was, I guess, a pretty comforting fact. But, you know, in addition to that, I think we both just have the mindset to just go for it. My mom actually has been a small business owner for, I guess, as long as I've been alive. And so that entrepreneurial spirit, I think it's definitely passed down. And yeah, I don't think really anything would have held us back from going for it.
So those first 6 months you mentioned, you were just getting things set up, getting to know the lay of the land. You hadn't ever lived in Jamaica, though, right? But even though your parents are from there. So what was that like getting to know a whole new environment and figuring out like the local vendors that you wanted to source from and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. And you're right, I had never lived there full time. The longest I had been in Jamaica in one stretch was about 6 weeks during college. I interned at a hotel, and that was like the best time of my life. That was when I knew I could live in Jamaica. So when we did move there full time for the purpose of planning and preparation for this project, you know, it was crazy because we were inside, you know, researching, making calls, emailing people all the time. And our friends and family would, they didn't really get it that we were there like working. They thought we were on some like extended vacation. And they'd be like, oh, did you go to the beach this morning? And we'd be like, I don't even remember the last time I saw the ocean.
Wow.
So it was a really focused time period for us. But it was great because we ended up linking up with awesome people and, you know, artisans and artists and craftsmen and women who ended up contributing amazing things to the project. And so it was really great to have that time to prepare.
Oh, that's awesome. And it's funny you mentioned that. It makes me think of my sister. So my parents moved to the U.S. when I was six. I also have two older sisters. And my oldest sister moved back to Jamaica a few years ago to live, you know, work and live full time. And everyone always wants to visit her. And she's like, you know, I'm not on a permanent vacation, right? Like, you can come to visit, but I'll be at work.
Exactly.
But anyway, moving right along, I want to talk about marketing because I'm always fascinated by how people get their brand name out there and attract clients, attract customers, because it has to be a really strategic process. So I want to know how, like, what were some of the first steps you took to start marketing and building awareness of the Runaway Jamaica and experience? Were you doing Facebook marketing? Like, what kind of things were you doing to get the word out?
Yeah, definitely Facebook, Instagram, and I have to say Kickstarter again as well, because that really was the first, you know, platform that we were able to spread the word. And even just from doing Kickstarter, we got a bunch of press. And so we had that buzz going even before we opened up our doors. So that was pretty amazing. And then, like you mentioned, with Facebook and Instagram these days, you can target and really speak to the audience that you want to reach. And so that has been critical for us. That's been the main advertising for sure.
And, you know, a big part of marketing is market research. So you went to Jamaica and you had this idea, but what kind of research did you do to know that this was a need and that that you would actually be able to attract customers?
Well, I would say, you know, it's an overwhelming fact that travel is, you know, more popular now than it ever has been, especially with the emphasis on spending for experiences versus, you know, tangible things. And I think especially folks these days really do want an authentic travel experience. They're not necessarily booking the all-inclusive resorts anymore. They're looking to find Airbnbs. They're looking to get personal recommendations. And so for us, we love the islands, we love Jamaica, and we knew that we could create something special there to create for folks. And unfortunately, because we were so specific in describing our offering, we also attracted folks who knew exactly what they were getting and were totally down with it. And we're really excited to find something that gave them what they were looking for. So it's been great.
Got it. And did you start to reap that profit and reward from your business yet? Or are you still in a growing phase? And if you have like started to profit, what were the first things you invested back into the business?
Well, I'd say since it has just been a year since we opened, we really wanted to take this first year to incubate the product and discover what worked well and what didn't. And then now we're using those learnings to expand next year and, you know, expand the profitability and scaling and just also maintain a more sustainable lifestyle for Jeff and myself. Because, you know, as you can imagine, like running a B&B is very taxing on your physical life, on, you know, financial life and all those things. And so the way we're scaling now, it not only expands our offering to more people in different destinations, but it also allows us to also create the quality of life that we want to have.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because, you know, obviously there needs to be some kind of physical presence for a B&B and then the experiences takes you away from that. So what kind of balance do you envision for the future? Do you envision hiring more people to do the day-to-day property management, or will you kind of rotate when you're there versus when you're running the experiences?
Well, in terms of the B&B itself, I do think that we'll only be hosting guests when Jeff and I are physically there, because I think part of the experience is, you know, feeling like you're visiting friends in their home. That's the difference between, you know, our experience versus just renting out a villa, I'd say.
Right.
So we definitely want to be there for that. And even for now the Runaway experience and other destinations, we're really excited to link up with other operations that are already, you know, running. And so instead of us having to fully staff the whole experience, we're linking up with a bed and breakfast that already exists and has their own team. And so in that way, it's scalable for us and we actually don't have to increase our overhead.
Got it. And I like that, you know, you've tapped into a big market right now, the whole travel while black and abroad movement that's going on. And you recognize that at an early stage. But now that you're building these experiences, how do you structure your projected income? And this is a projected revenue stream. Like, are you... How do you garner customers for the, you know, first of all, like, how are you attracting them to understand that you now do this whole experiences aspect? And then how do you differentiate yourself in the market?
Yeah, I'd say, well, we definitely had to do like kind of an unveiling. We had a new website. We refreshed all of our social channels to help people understand that we're now the Runaway Experience versus the Runaway Jamaica. And, you know, we still get inquiries for bookings at the Runaway Jamaica, which we're sad to turn away. But I think more and more people are grabbing onto the fact that we're going to be offering these new global travel experiences. And I think once the first one happens in January, then we can fully transition over into that mindset and folks will totally get it. And yeah, that's what we're excited to do.
Yeah. And I think that people are always excited to have someone else plan their trip, right? Like whenever you do a group trip, no one wants to be the organizer.
Exactly. So we're taking that all off their hands.
Taking that all off your hands, curating the experience and making it safe too, because it can be intimidating to travel by yourself, even when you're willing to plan it all. So I love that you're doing that. As someone who has so many countries she still wants to hit up.
Yeah. Give us your bucket list.
Right.
Work it in.
And then so let's talk about hiring the right team. So you mentioned that right now it's just you and Jeff, but I know at some point you're going to need to expand. So have you learned some things about hiring thus far? Have you tried adding members to your team, or are you just keeping it very lean on purpose?
Well, we're keeping it lean on purpose, but, you know, from time to time, we do definitely work with vendors that are experts in their own skills and industries, whether it's, you know, for photography or videography or anything like that. So we definitely have a great network of really amazing people that we're able to loop in when necessary. But in terms of a full-time person, that's still a little bit down the road for us.
Got it. And then in terms of marketing, because that's, you know, such a huge part of business, do you do that all yourself? Do you plan to like have some assistance with that?
Yeah, we definitely do all that ourselves. And that actually falls under Jeff's wheelhouse.
Right.
And yeah, like I said, with social media these days and, you know, pitching different publications, that's something that we've just decided to take on ourselves so far.
Got it. And speaking of social media, like, do you have a targeted approach there in terms of his Instagram? Have you found that to be your main traffic driver and conversion engine, or are there other channels that you prefer?
I would say definitely Instagram and Facebook as well. Those two are the main ones for us and the main ways we're able to really engage audiences.
And what's been the most surprising part of this whole process? I mean, you started out starting a B&B, fundraising for that, doing a Kickstarter for that, and now you're onto this whole runway experience. So what's been most surprising?
I'd say the response has been the most surprising. I mean, pleasantly surprising for sure. But I think as we evolve our brand and as we put out new ventures and new tentacles of the project, it's been really humbling and, you know, amazing to see that folks are really gravitating towards it and responding positively. So I'd say just the fact that what we're putting out as we change and evolve has been, you know, well received. That's been the most pleasantly surprising thing.
Got it. I'm also interested to know, it's funny because, you know, you and your partner are this entrepreneurial couple, and that's kind of the way me and my fiance are. You know, he's a full-time entrepreneur as an app developer, and I'm slowly, scaling my way into the world of entrepreneurship. And I would love to know how your days are structured now. Like, what's a typical day these days? Because you have to structure your time.
Oh my gosh. I mean, if you only knew. We use Asana, actually.
I love Asana. Yeah. I really need to get them to sponsor this podcast because I talk about them all the time.
Yeah, like if you had a nickel for every time you mentioned it, right? But yeah, I'd say in terms of task management, Asana's our go-to. And I love a good schedule. I can like stick to the schedule any day of the week.
Oh, good.
But it's funny though, because we are, you know, we work together, we're our only coworkers. We always want to talk about whatever each other's working on, right? Like you want to brainstorm ideas, you want to bounce around thoughts. And so we actually had to dedicate a block of time in the middle of the day to just do that so that we weren't, you know, in meetings all day long. So
yes.
We each kind of do our own thing and then we converge and collaborate and then we go back. So that's kind of our like loose structure for our day to day.
Right. Cause you don't want to only talk about business. Like you're still a couple, right?
Exactly.
It could be a weird line to
tell. Yes. We are constantly drawing that line. Close down the computer. Work's over.
Right. Let go of your phone. But how are you working your passion for food into this, to the runaway experience?
Yeah. So I won't be doing all the cooking like I did at the Runaway Jamaica B&B, but I am still going to be curating the whole culinary experience and making sure that, you know, everything the guests staying with us eat is like top notch and the most delicious thing you could have while in that destination. And even apart from curating the actual dining experience on the ground, I'm going to be creating content all around the culinary experience. So whether it's developing recipes that folks at home can make or just documenting the whole thing so you can feel like you're experiencing it no matter where you are, that's still going to be kind of forefront for our brand, like the culinary side.
Got it. And do you see yourselves expanding beyond the curated experiences also, or will this be for the foreseeable future, the business model?
Oh, well, we have too many ideas, I'd say. So right now we're working on these curated experiences, but we're also going to be announcing a series of retreats in Bali for next May as well. So they might just be cultural immersions like we're doing in Cuba, or retreats focused on various wellness aspects like we're doing in Bali, and maybe even some pop-ups in the States. So different versions of kind of the same concept, and more things to come for sure.
Oh, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to talk offline about a retreat for Side Hustle Pro. but now let's get into the lightning round. You know the deal. You're going to answer the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So number one, what's an online resource that has helped you in your business that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
I'd say Google for sure. I mean, it sounds very basic, but all the Google products are amazing. And the deeper you dive into it, the more you'll realize that you can literally do everything with Google. Like I can work from anywhere because I can log into any computer, get everything from the cloud, whether it's presentations or spreadsheets or collaborative documents. I love Google products.
Awesome. Number two, what's been your proudest moment since launching the Runaway experience?
Oh, that's a tough one. Man, I don't know if I've had just one, but I will say the most rewarding thing is actually hosting guests. I know that sounds silly because a lot of people think that's like what we do. But really most of the time is spent planning and preparing and organizing and all the logistics. So every time we actually get to engage with the folks who book with us, that's like the best part of it. And you get to meet new people, and even if we're, you know, talking about the same thing that we've talked about every weekend before then, just to share it with someone who's never seen it or eaten it or experienced it before is really amazing.
Aw. All right. Number three, what's the best book or podcast, episode, or live event that you've consumed this year?
I'm not sure if this counts as any of those categories, but I was actually just talking to my sister about how much, how many like great shows are on TV these days and how many great like works of art produced by Black folks like for our audience are on. And it's just been amazing. I mean, even like Lemonade.
Yes.
Earlier this year, I feel like Beyonce started it off. And then since then, I mean, even right now, Queen Sugar, right. Luke Cage,
Insecure,
yeah. Atlanta. There's so much. It's been like an overflow, and I'm so excited to tune in.
I know,
in and,
I'm here for you know, all of it.
All of it. And the music. I mean, the music on all of those shows, I'm like, why isn't this on the radio? Because then I would listen to the radio.
Right. This should be the norm, you know?
Yes.
It shouldn't even feel like, yes, wow.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely a good year.
Right.
It's definitely a good year in art.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't really name one particular thing, but I might let you slide, but if you know, if there's one particular thing that stood out, let us know.
I will.
All righty. Number four, what's a daily practice that you use to start your day on the right note and increase your productivity throughout the day?
Well, if I am a good girl, I always start my day off with my devotions and a good workout. I think recently I've been trying to be more consistent about both of those things. But when they both happen, like my day is like rocking. And if I feel like, oh my gosh, I feel a little off track, it's because one of those two things didn't happen. So I'd say my devotions and getting some fitness in the morning.
I hear you. Those I'm getting ready to write a post about like my morning ritual. But mind you, you know, some days it's a hit. Some
yep.
days it's a miss. All right. Number five. This is supposed to be the lightning round, but it never really does. It never goes that way. Number five. What's your parting advice for fellow women entrepreneurs who want to be their own boss but are worried about doing like you did and losing the steady paycheck?
Well, I wouldn't say, you know, don't think about it, just do it. I wouldn't say that because that's not great advice. But I would say that really anything is possible with a good plan. And if the paycheck or the finances in general is kind of the thing that's holding you back, just plan it out. Decide, okay, I need to save up X amount of money in order to survive for 6 months without my job, and then put the plan in motion to save up that amount and give yourself that opportunity to go for it. So plan it out, make it happen.
Right. And speaking of that, like, I'm curious. So when we dive into, you know, the planning out again, as mm-hmm. you wait to do more of these experiences, is there like any kind of side hustle that you're doing in addition to the runway experience to fund it as you're waiting for like customers to pay their deposits and things like that? Or is that the Runway Jamaica bookings that kind of tied you over?
Well, that plus Jeff still does have his agency, so we are able to take, you know, clients on the side
okay.
to kind of tie us over. But the way we're expanding for 2017, everything will kind of support everything, and we'll be able to live from that.
Awesome.
So that's the plan.
So you're mm-hmm. all projected out income-wise.
Exactly.
Any tips yep. there to share with the audience? In the last episode, I talked a little bit about some tips that I learned at a conference about, you know, just trying to line your ducks up for 2017. But if there's anything you can share as well.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we live and die by our budget. So
yes.
I have this like crazy Google spreadsheet that I look at like every minute of every day. I would just say make sure you are projecting everything, you're truing up with actuals, and just plans make me comfortable. Mm. I take comfort in plans. So whether it's a financial plan or otherwise, when everything is laid out, you're good to go.
Yes, I think that's a great note to end on. Like actually sticking to your plans, looking at your plans and holding yourself accountable and
Right.
truing up those numbers, making sure
Yep.
you're hitting them. You've told us what's next throughout the episode, but if there's anything else you want to add in what's next for the runaway experience, let us know now.
Ooh, I will say that we are going to be putting our next experience up on our site very soon. So folks should be on the lookout for that. And sorry, I'm probably jumping ahead, but our website is therunawayexperience.com to stay in the loop, and folks can sign up there to stay in the know.
Awesome. I'm definitely going to stay in the know. I did want to know the best way that people can connect with you after this episode. So go ahead and share that with us.
Yeah, so our website is therunawayexperience.com. Our social channels are also at The Runaway Experience, and my personal Instagram is Kalisa M. Martin.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us in the guest chair today, Kalisa. It's been a pleasure. You guys have been on my radar for a while, so it's so awesome to have been able to sit down and chat with you about how the runaway experience came to be.
Yeah, it's been so fun. Thanks again for having me.
Of course. And there you have it. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you want to hear more from me, head on over to sidehustlepro.co/sidehustlecorner to get my weekly Side Hustle Diaries chronicles about my own journey from passion project to profitable business. And if you want to find me online, I'm at Side Hustle Pro on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Don't forget to join the Side Hustle Pro Facebook community. Go to sidehustlepro.co/mastermind. And as always, if you love the show, do me a favor and subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.